Grace be unto you and mercy and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text for today, reflecting especially our confession that Jesus Christ is born of the Virgin Mary, is written in Luke chapter 2 at verse 4. Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed wife, who was with child. So it was that while they were there, the days were completed for her to be delivered, and she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling cloths lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." Here ends the text. These are your words, Heavenly Father. They are the truth. Increase our faith through them, we pray. Amen. Dear fellow redeemed, I don't remember my own birth, of course, but I do remember the birth of all of my kids. And they all cried vigorously, hollered good and loud. And I think one of the reasons was because it was so cold in that delivery room. And I always think it was the cold that made him cry, among other things, because once you got the beanie on them and you put them under the warmer, then they kind of relaxed and got comfortable. I can still remember Caitlin just looking what was going on around her. Jesus, your Savior, the Creator of the universe, your Lord, went through that. I don't know about the little beanie. We already talked about that. They used to make them out of some sort of bandages when back in our day, but I suppose they're all cute now. But Mary wrapped him in swaddling clothes and kept him warm, put him in a manger. There are other memories, I'm sure, that we share. I remember when my father died. I remember the vitality and the energy that characterized his life. I can remember the onset of illness. I can even remember his last breath. Jesus went through that too. He went through it with Joseph, at least it appears that he did, because Joseph isn't mentioned at all after that event when Jesus was 12 in Jerusalem there at the temple. By the time he was 30, we don't hear about Joseph anymore, so very likely that he by then had died. Jesus went through losing a loved one. Okay, we know from talking about it last week that Joseph was his foster father. Nevertheless, there was love there. Being born a man, being born of Mary, Jesus went through what we all go through. As some of you know, I like woodworking, but there's drudgery connected with woodworking. For me, it's especially keeping the tools sharp. And it always seems that halfway through the project, the saw or the plane or the bit or the chisel needs to be sharpened. So there I've got this beautiful piece of wood in the lathe, but what am I doing? Making something? No, I'm rubbing the chisel on the sharpening stone to get that really sharp edge. And I'm sure that there's drudgery in your life too, in lots of different ways. And Jesus went through that as well. Working with Joseph, his foster father, as a carpenter, no doubt one of the things that he had to do as the apprentice was keep things sharp. Probably had to carry heavy stuff and do all of the sweeping up as well. In a word, drudgery. Jesus went through that too. I've had people get angry with me because of the truth. They didn't like what I talk about. I talk about Christ, our Savior, and maybe they want to talk about politics or social justice. And I'm sure you've gone through the same sort of thing. When people find out that at St. Timothy we talk about forgiveness of real sin rather than everybody's okay. We talk about forgiveness as being important, that God calls us to repentance for all of the popular sins of the day. You fill in the blank. And you've probably struggled too, what people think about your faith. Particularly unpopular is, well, the declaration that there is one Savior of the world, and only one. That we find salvation in no other name than this one, and that is Jesus Christ. Well, Jesus went through that rejection because he proclaimed the truth as well. In John chapter 6, we read him preaching, "And this is the will of him who sent me, that everyone who sees the Son and believes in him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day." Well, how was that received? Sounds pretty positive to me. And yet, just a few verses later, "From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked with him no more." Rejected because of the truth, Jesus went through that. He doesn't go through just the tough times with us either. I remember our last wedding, it was 3-4 weeks ago. I think it was Deborah's grandniece. I've never been really good at figuring out the names. Maybe it was great-niece. She was a great girl, yeah, I know that much. But we had a full sit-down dinner. We had good food, nice wine, heaps of relatives, some of whom I actually knew, which made it even better. A wonderful celebration. You've had celebrations in your life. And Jesus went through that too. He enjoyed good company, even weddings, as we learn about the wedding at Cana. Good food, good wine, good conversation. In fact, many of the things that Scripture records that he said that are so important, he said over the dinner table, among friends, at a meal. Jesus went through those things. We all face temptations. Now, this is a subject we don't want to delve into too deeply. We face temptations at all times, even when we're trying to do something good, like trying to discipline or correct a child, or trying to have an important discussion with a loved one. And you ever notice sometimes it just doesn't come out right? Maybe there's anger there, or maybe there's pride, or what have you. We face temptations to leave undone, as we confessed in our confession of sins today, to leave undone good things that we should do, but maybe are difficult or inconvenient. Like helping somebody who needs it when it really isn't the right time, when really this isn't a convenient time for me. Or setting aside a portion of our income for charity in the church when really we'd rather spend it on ourselves. And then, of course, there are all the temptations of the flesh to abuse and misuse the pleasures that God gives. Jesus went through that. It says in Hebrews chapter 4, "For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin." And Jesus has done things that we haven't done, or at least haven't done yet, but are very much a part of our broken humanity. One thing we haven't done is die. But think about it. Most people have. Most people have. Most people have lived their lives out to the close, and their consciousness has faded, their heart stopped, their brain fell dead, and their soul returned to God. And no, not to St. Peter. St. Peter does not stand at the pearly gates. The body returns to the dust, Scripture says, and the soul returns to God who gave it. And Jesus went through that too. True man, born of the Virgin Mary, Jesus went through a truly human life and a truly human death because he was counted guilty of our sin. We are creatures who were born flawed and broken because of original sin. And as a result, we don't, at least in this life, in this circumstance, in this body, live forever. Nor do we have any claim on heaven. When our bodies return to dust and our soul returns to God, we have no claim on him for everlasting life. Our life naturally, unless something interferes, leads to death and even to everlasting death because of our sins. The sting of death is sin, Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 15, and the strength of sin is the law. The law of God carries the description of what's right and wrong. It carries the command, do this, don't do that, be this way. And the law also carries the penalty if we break that law. And the wages of sin is death. And what makes death deadly, everlastingly deadly, is sin. And sin has its power because of that law that says the soul, not just the body, but the soul that sins shall die. And that is the unchangeable law of God. How can sinners like us prevail over death? Well, Paul answers his own question. Thanks be to God, he gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ, who went through that too. Christ has given you and me the victory over death. Physical death, because we shall rise again, and eternal death, because we will receive not the judgment or condemnation of God, but we will receive his commendation and his welcome into heaven. How did he do it? Well, he confronted sin. He confronted heresy. He confronted temptation. He confronted life with all its brokenness. He confronted death. Christ has accomplished the victory in our place in the battle of life by taking our place. He did this in our place, as though he were you. And as it says in Galatians, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem you and me, who are under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. So Jesus was born under the law, but then he took upon himself our sins. And since God's holiness cannot abide in his presence anything that's unholy, anything that is sinful, God must cast off the sinner. That's why it says in John chapter 5, the hour is coming in which all who are in the graves will hear his voice and come forth. Those who have done good to the resurrection of life, and those who have done evil to the resurrection of condemnation. That's scary unless you realize that there's one thing that Jesus has done that you won't ever do. And that is that Jesus bore the condemnation for your sin. Now think about that. Of all the things that he had to do that aren't like what you go through, that is the greatest. Because while the law of God says the soul that sins shall die, Jesus took that sin of our soul upon himself. And there he suffered the condemnation of God himself on the cross, crying out, my God, why have you forsaken me? He went through that so that you never have to. Christ went through our life. Christ went through our death. Christ went through our death and judgment to save us from death, from our death, from the eternal death that we deserved. That's why he was born of Mary, so that he could truly take your place and mine. This has been a tough year around here, and it isn't just the winter. We've lost loved ones. We lost Frank. We lost Don. We've seen our country turn more and more toward destruction, forsaking even the basic building block of society, marriage and family, that was created with the cosmos itself in that week of creation. We have people, friends of ours here, struggling with unemployment, struggling with poverty, struggling with being treated unfairly in ways that we can't imagine. Unemployment, underemployment, people who want to work but just can't find it. And all this, while all this is going on, the devil tries to pry us away from the one very thing that will give us peace and perspective and help and hope, and namely, God's Word. And some aren't going to let go. They'll cling to that, and as they go through life, they'll say, Jesus went through that too. He hears my prayers. He has the solution for me. And others are torn. Others are struggling. And still others, sad to say, are wandering. But let me remind you that the one to whom we pray is true God. And consequently, he knows what you're going through. True God, begotten of the Father from eternity, he knows all things. But he is also true man, born of the Virgin Mary. And he says something that nobody else can ever really say to you. And he says, I know how you feel. Nobody else can know how you feel like God can, because he knows everything. And this man can, because he has human feelings. He knows your past. He knows your present. He knows your future. And he loves you so much that he has died your eternal death for you so that you don't have to. So that's taken care of. And now he offers you hope, the hope of everlasting life. He offers and gives and declares to you the forgiveness of all of your sins, the death of your death, and a life of your soul forever with your body in the resurrection. And, oh, by the way, Jesus has gone through that too. The one who promises it to you is the one who has gone through that death and that resurrection for you. And you will too, Amen. That is to say, this is most certainly true. And now the peace of God that passes all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.